Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Human Animal Connection Show, where we believe we can communicate with all animals. Join us as we explore the 33 principles and healing methods of the human-animal connection. As animal lovers, we know that you share our commitment to making the world a kinder place for all creatures. Together, let's embrace the transformative healing power of the human-animal connection.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Human-Animal Connection Podcast. I'm Jeannie Joseph, and today I have a delightful guest with me. I have Catherine Carver. And among many things that she does, she is the author of a book called Abandoned. It's a photographic book, and it's all about chronicling the journeys of once forsaken dogs. And she follows them to see the course of their adoption and how they change the lives of the people that they've come to. So we're going to just really have a wonderful deep dive into the beautiful things that can happen when people adopt a dog, especially a dog that might not have had a chance. So, Catherine, hello and welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me today.
Yeah. Well, would you just briefly tell us your journey? I know you didn't start out planning to write a book like this. Well, what were you doing before you wrote this book, and how did you come to write this book?
Yeah, it's a little bit of an interesting story. So, my husband and I, back in 2011, adopted a little Sheltie rescue dog named Biscuit. And both of us had never had a dog before in childhood. He was our very first dog. And he came into our lives and he just changed my life. I became a more present person. I became more interested in abandoned dogs like him. A Biscuit was left abandoned on a road in North Carolina and brought to a Sheltie rescue in Maryland, where we reside. And I just wanted to learn more about how these dogs came to be abandoned and what happened to them, really. And I've always loved photography. And when Biscuit entered my life, one of the gifts that he gave me additionally was bringing photography back into my life. So I embarked on this project where I photographed dogs in the Mid-Atlantic region who were residing in shelters and rescue organizations. And I photographed them. And then I tracked the same dogs and photographed them roughly a year later, and since they had been adopted. So roughly a year's time spans the two photographs of the dogs, and also copy their stories of each dog with each photograph accompanies the each photograph in the book.
Yeah. Now, let's go, Joe, just back one step. What inspired you to get a dog? You and your husband had never had a dog. What made you think this would make our lives better? Or what did you think when you were adopting?
It was a little bit on a whim. We just had come to a place where we thought it would be, it was prior to having any kids, we just thought it would be a really interesting exercise experience, you know? We had never done it before, and we wanted to be sure it was a rescue dog. That was really important to us. I'm not sure if you're aware, but in 2023, 3 million dogs entered shelters and rescues. 2 million of those dogs received permanent homes, but that, however, left, unfortunately, 1 million dogs who did not receive a home. And there's a huge overpopulation crisis in our country, for a myriad of different reasons, which we don't necessarily have to get into, but it is a big problem. And what has been so nice about the timing of this book, which has been over a decade in the making, is it's come out at a time where it's very timely that the crisis is very real.
Yeah. And when you went to the shelter, what was it about Biscuit that made you say, this is the one I'm going to take home? There's maybe 100 dogs here, or my shelter, there's 500 dogs waiting for homes. What made you pick Biscuit?
So interestingly, Biscuit came from a rescue organization, and he ended up being the one for us. I called around to rescues, and he just was the one that was really available and seemed to be a good match when I talked to the rescue directors on the phone. And then we went and met him and, of course, took him home. He cowered behind tables. His was matted. He needed to put on more weight. And just his overall demeanor was just just sad, you know. And what really was remarkable, which is also mirrored in the book, is that Biscuit really, I mean, metaphorically and physically changed in so many ways. He really came into his own beautiful Shetland sheepdog, who, if you look at his picture the first day we met him and took him home, to, you know, a year later, I mean, he just was remarkable. He came into his own. He felt like he had a life, you know. He really knew he was safe, and a trusting friendship became, you know, developed, blossomed between us. And he really opened my heart in so many ways. And like I said before, just became very interested in these dogs. He was one of many dogs.
Right.
Find themselves in this predicament.
And when you first met him, were you a little concerned? I know he was scared. He probably didn't bond right away. Or did you know right away? What was it like that first meeting there, you know, the first time you met?
There was just something in his eyes. They were so wanting that we just said he's the one regardless. And we're able to have the time and patience to develop. When you bring a dog home, it's not necessarily so different from a baby. They're not the same, of course, but you know, you're bringing a new being into your family system, and you're really takes time. Each dog comes from a different background. Each dog has different trauma. Each story is different. And I think it's really important that people realize how open you need to be, how patient you need to be, and kind of take the dog's lead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really an unfolding that happens. And
yeah,
we were very fortunate to have a really remarkable experience with Biscuit.
Yeah, and that's so important for people to recognize. People with beautiful hearts, and they may rescue a dog, and on day one, it may not be the dog of their dreams. And it's important to understand that it does take time for dogs to heal, to recognize that their life is new now, and that this is permanent, and that these people are good people, and everything is going to be good, and they can make that transition. But for some people, when they take that, you know, traumatized or, you know, a scared dog home, it's not picture perfect on day one. So congratulations for sticking it through. That's really wonderful. So I guess you were an attorney before, is that right?
I still am. Yep.
You still are? Okay. And you had this love of photography, and Biscuit helped you kind of reconnect with this love of yours. So in a way, he saved you. You know, he kind of brought you back to your heart and to your soul purpose, or at least one of them. So that's wonderful. So let's talk a little bit about some of the dogs that you worked with. I know there was a dog called Dogwood. What was his story? He ended up in a nursing home, but tell us the story of Dogwood.
Yeah, his name is actually Dagwood.
Oh, Dagwood. Okay.
And it's an interesting story. He was the first dog that I'm aware of and in this project where a nursing home facility actually adopted him. Mm-hmm. This organization tried many different places, rescue organizations, shelters, and they all said no. But one of the rescues I worked with said yes.
Mm-hmm.
He was very anxious at first, and the contact at the nursing home said, let's just give this a try. And the rescue said, yeah, go ahead. Let's give this a try and see how it goes. And he had a remarkable story in that he became the resident dog of very many, I'll call them grandparents in quotes, who didn't necessarily have family or friends that could regularly come and visit. And he literally became a companion with so many people who were in a situation where they needed love and companionship. And he was a constant force. And he also very much physically changed and emotionally changed, and he became the star of that nursing home and the light, and really came into his own and was so helpful.
It's so wonderful for facilities to be able to have a dog in residence. It's, you know, not every facility understands what it takes to help a dog to adjust into that. And it has to be the right dog who enjoys, you know, many people, many touches all the time, all love all the time. It's not for every dog. But you mentioned that he was anxious at first, and he did learn kind of what his new role and purpose was in life. And that's really just beautiful. And was there one central person that was kind of like his person, or was he equal, loving everyone?
No, it's my understanding that I think he had I'm certain there were a few people he was closer to than others, but generally speaking, he was there for, you know, every senior who was living there. And I'll also add that it's really important to note that these dogs are so incredibly resilient. Mm-hmm. They are so loyal, so loving, despite the circumstances they found themselves in prior to being adopted. And I think that's what's so beautiful. And that also the lives of the human companions are, you know, equally enriched. I can vouch for that personally speaking with Biscuit. And it is mirrored throughout my book with accompanying stories of how much these dogs positively impacted their new human companions' lives. These people couldn't imagine their life without these remarkable dogs.
Yeah, it's just an extraordinary and inspiring. And I think dogs can show us that healing is possible, that no matter what you've been through, you know, no matter how barren it was or mean it was. And it's an inspiration for us humans to recognize that healing is possible and to see it in a dog. You start with a dog coming out of the shelter, anxious, scared, not sure, you know, whatever, all kinds of behaviors. And then through love and time and patience and healing, not only is the dog healed, but everyone around is healed too. So it's just a beautiful model for healing, the notion of healing each other. And, you know, of course, we think, well, I rescued this dog. Yes, that's true. And the dog rescued me right back.
That's very true. It's so true.
Very true. Yeah. And is there one central person that walks the dog at the nursing home, or everybody take turns, or how does that work?
I think he did have one main person, the staff person who helped with his general care, if you will, and took care of him in that respect with walkings and feedings. There was one dedicated person who...
Yeah, it really does take one central person at least to be responsible to make sure that the nails are trimmed and gets the vet and gets the shots and so on. But in a situation like that, we just really want to encourage you, if you know of a facility that maybe has a central person like that who's willing to do that. We do, of course, visiting dogs. We'll take the therapy dogs into these facilities, but they come for an hour or whatever, you know. So a dog that can stay there and be there when people need comfort is just a beautiful experience that kind of reinforces our hope and our faith in humanity and dogmanity. Great. Okay. And I know also in your book, you tell a story of Dreyfus, who was a three-legged dog. Tell us Dreyfus's story.
Yeah, he has also quite a remarkable story. So Dreyfus had been waiting for a home for quite some time. He, as you mentioned, is a tripod with three legs. And his adopter, and Dreyfus is still living. His adopter is just remarkable as well. She stated how she saw him and, you know, everyone kind of passed on him because of his, if you will, his disability, mm-hmm. Or his special needs. And she decided to adopt this dog. And, you know, she still to this day says that, you know, he may have special needs, but he can do everything any other dog can do. And he's provided wonderful companionship. And they're just incredibly, incredibly bonded. But she didn't look at him and say, you know, this is a dog, you know, with special needs. She looked at this dog and said, this is a dog that needs a home and love. Mm. And she adopted him. And it's been wonderful. I mean, her life is forever changed and a permanent family member in a home.
Yeah, I know. When I was volunteering at the shelter, there was a three-legged dog that I worked with because I do some healing with dogs who've had trauma. And a woman came in. She was a 911 operator, and she had three legs herself, and she adopted the three-legged dog. So between them, they had four legs. And it was just the love of her life. And ironically, 2 years later, I met her on a therapy dog visit. We were working with the 911 operators, and she told me about her three-legged dog. And I said, I knew one at the shelter. And I said, do you have a picture? And it was the dog I had worked with. So it's just extraordinary. And she said the same thing. He could do everything. He could go on walks with her. And he was strong and healthy. And it's so inspiring when animals can show us the way to healing and show us the way that they, you know, we don't have to be limited by, in many ways, you know, we're not totally at the mercy of our past when we're able to heal. Yeah, it's really wonderful. Well, good. We're going to take a short little break. When we come back, I want to hear about Mario. We'll be right back in just a moment. You're listening to The Human-Animal Connection. I'm speaking with Catherine Carver, and she is the author of Abandoned,
chronicling the journeys of once forsaken dogs. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Gifts for my pets. Sparkle and love. Under the tree. From heaven above. Gifts for my pets. Joy in the air. Unwrapping dreams. Without a care.
Elevate your cat's eating experience. With the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and is conveniently located on the cat tree. Go to cattreetray.com. Bring home a luxury French bulldog from the world-famous Tom King's Kennel. Premium French bulldogs from excellent European bloodlines. Superior puppy care and lifetime health guarantee for your perfect companion. Use code TOMKINGSMAGIC for a magical holiday discount. Visit TomKingsKennel.com and find your perfect Frenchie today. Your pets will be over the moon with sparkly jewelry from Over the Moon Jewelry. Beautiful handcrafted matching jewelry for you and your pets. Wire-wrapped, beaded contemporary necklaces, bracelets, and charms. Go to OverTheMoonJewelry.com.
Gifts for my pets. Joy in the air. Unwrapping dreams without a care.
Hey friends, if you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, check out Dr. Joseph's book, The Human-Animal Connection, Deepening Relationships with Animals and Ourselves. Or visit the website, thehumananimalconnection.org, to book an online consultation. Thank you for loving animals. Now back to the show.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Human Animal Connection, and we're talking with Catherine Carver. And one of the other wonderful things about her book is that a portion of the proceeds are being donated to the SPCA International, and that's always good when that happens. So tell us about Teddy. This is a very special dog. Tell us Teddy's story.
Yeah, he was originally named Mario, as you said, and renamed Teddy. So this family adopted Teddy. And this family had two children, two girls, and it was very important to this family that their children be exposed to caring for a dog, for having a hand in learning more about dogs. And what was really beautiful about this story is in this family, these girls got firsthand experience caring and learning about how to take care of a dog. You know, for an extended period of time, they had him for, I think, close to 10 years. Wow. And I can also say personally, I have a daughter, and she is also fortunate to have an experience with our second dog, Victory, who is also a rescue Sheltie, after whom we got several months after Biscuit passed away. So it's a really, really educational for children to be around animals. You learn so much, and they are so caring towards the children as well. It's just very beneficial.
Yeah, I know we had a program working with the women's prison, and we would bring the therapy animals in, and it was so important because a lot of these women had not been nurtured themselves. And, you know, we think, oh, well, it's totally instinctual being a mother. Well, it isn't always. So, you know, learning how to both give love and also receive love really helps heal at such a deep level. And for children to understand, you know, dogs have needs. You have to feed them. You have to walk them. You have to take care of them. You have to observe their emotions and be kind to them. And, you know, it's such good training for lives as adults. So I think it's wonderful. I mean, not all children are ready for dogs, and some children need more supervision than others. But when it's right, it can just be life-changing for children, especially children who are feeling a little bit isolated and not as connected. And to have a being that loves them completely for who they are, it can really transform an entire family.
Yeah. It really does. And it's really good educational and for awareness purposes, especially as these children get older. They're more likely to have a dog or rescue dog of their own someday.
Exactly right. And that's what we want. Is there so many animals out there, and I won't just say dogs, but there's so many animals out there that need good homes. So if you're in a position to open your life and your heart, we certainly encourage you to adopt. So Catherine, let's talk a little bit about how this
writing this book affected you? What was this journey like for you? How did it change your life?
Yeah, it's an interesting journey. It's been a long journey, over 10 years on a lot of levels, a lot of perseverance. But it really opened my heart to all these different dogs. And I always kept the vision of this with Biscuit and with Victory, you know, on times that I think I wouldn't have even finished this project because it was much more involved than I had bargained for at the beginning, that it could have the hope of getting published and helping dogs in need and raising awareness. So that was vital to keep me going, and also to, in the hopes of raising awareness. I've learned a lot about myself, you know, just trusting this process that at times was very murky and unclear, a lot of problem solving, a lot of unanticipated roadblocks that came up, and figuring out ways how to deal with those to keep moving the project forward, which wasn't always easy. But I'm very proud that I finished it. And fortunately, it's garnered a lot of endorsements, including Jane Goodall. So I'm really proud of that. And my hope is that even if it helps a couple dogs, it will have been worth doing.
Absolutely. Well, I know that it will help more than a couple. Yeah, it's so such a good thing for people to recognize that maybe take your attention off yourself and your own problems for a little while and go help another little being that needs a whole new life. And the rewards are so great, because not only will you be helping that dog, but you're going to be helping yourself in the process as a byproduct, because love that comes when you really give your heart to another being, it is just completely transformative.
It's the most rewarding thing outside of having a child that I have ever done, while simultaneously being one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. So, Yeah, it's very rewarding to see it finished. And for since you can't see the book listening to this, the images are black and white, square with flat backgrounds. And I did that intentionally to really get to the essence of each dog, so the viewer can really hone in and really see that dog. And my hope is that the viewer can see emotional and or physical changes between the photographs of the, you know, of each dog, the two photographs. That was my hope anyways.
Yeah. So seeing a dog when they're, you know, just at the adoption stage and maybe frightened or hungry or skinny or whatever, they're mangy, and then seeing the effects of being at home for a year and having love and having that safety, having that security is just transformative. And to see that in pictures, I think, is really powerful. So I hope that people will go ahead and get your book. Tell people where they can get a hold of it and how they can find you.
Sure. You can visit my website, katherinecarver.com, which is K-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E, Carver, C-A-R, V as in Victor, E-R.com. And there's more information that you can see, more information about the book, and also where you can order the book. And there's also dog rescue resources that I've included on my site as well for anyone contemplating deciding to get a shelter or rescue dog.
Wonderful. So what's next on your horizon now that you've finished this wonderful accomplishment? What's next for you?
I have some ideas on some projects, but at this present time, I'm kind of very present with this book.
Yeah, it's like having a baby. It's not just getting it out there, then you got to get it out there and out there. And out.
Right. Yeah. So it's a process in which I've enjoyed. And so yes, I have ideas for some other projects, but at this point, I'm kind of savoring that the book is out, which is what I've worked towards for so long.
Yeah. And I know from, you know, having volunteered thousands of hours at the shelters, having good pictures can make the difference between a dog getting adopted and not getting adopted sometimes. So that's a wonderful process to share that with shelters and with people, because I think sometimes what I would say to people, like at the shelter I work at, we often have 500 dogs, and I'll say to people who are adopting, why did you pick that one? And they'll say, oh, it was the way he looked at me. I just couldn't leave him there, you know? And it is the power of seeing into their soul through their eyes.
You know? It really is. It really is. A lot of the adopters commented to me about how they, when they saw the dog, literally online or in person, they just knew something about their eyes, or it reminded them of a former dog they had lost. They just had some sort of connection that was really strong that pulled them towards that particular dog. So I think everything kind of happens for a reason, and dogs come into our lives and they have so much to teach us. I've learned so much. I'm a much better person for having a rescue dog in my life. I cannot imagine life without one.
Wow, beautiful. Well, thank you, Catherine, for your book. Thank you for sharing all this wonderful information with our listeners. And we look forward to hearing all about your next projects as they progress.
Thank you for having me.
We'll see you again. Well, thank you for tuning in to the Human Animal Connection Podcast. We'll see you at the next episode. Aloha for now.
Thank you for tuning in to the Human Animal Connection Show. Please visit our website, thehumananimalconnection.org. There you can sign up for our free email newsletter, book a consultation, or check out our blogs and resources. Our best-selling book, The Human Animal Connection, is available on Amazon. And your donation of any amount keeps our nonprofit organization providing life-changing services.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.